It's time for the Ice Cap Podcast, the official podcast of the Jacksonville Icemen. This is your one stop for up-to-date Icemen and ECHL news. Now here's your host, Alex Reed.
And welcome to the Ice Cap Podcast, the podcast devoted to everything Jacksonville Icemen hockey, the ECHL, and, well, hockey in general. Man, it's been a long time since we've done one of these. I'm your host, Alex Reed, alongside my co-host and my broadcast partner, Arlie Johnson. And Arlie, it has been a while. A lot to catch up on here, but here we are coming down the tail end here of the month of July. Hockey's around the corner, and things are heating up from a roster front.
They are. It's now, it's the silly season of hockey at this point. Congratulations to the Florida Everblades as Kelly Cup champions. That kind of makes me throw up in my mouth a little bit saying that. But just the same, they earned it. They were the best team in the ECHL in my estimation. I don't know if anyone can argue that. And so now we move on to roster building time and qualifying offer time and maybe trade season time and players going to Europe. And so much activity happens at this level, especially almost more activity than at a National Hockey League level, where you're just anxious to see who's going to end up with your team. How many players are you going to retain? Who's the new guys? Who are the rookies? What veterans can you bring into the fold? And right now we are right in the thick of that. The Icemen have already built up a pretty decent core right now, but a lot more to go this offseason, too.
Yeah, there really is. And again, I love that phrase, the silly season, and it is, because there's always rumors and speculations and things changing. And it's just unbelievable at this level. And then with Europe in play, the movement is unbelievable. Just go to the Elite Prospects page every day, and there's dozens and dozens of new transactions, teams you haven't even heard of overseas acquiring guys. But that's really the case. And if you look at the Icemen right now, they've had a little bit of an influx of guys going overseas. Some pretty prominent names, Arlie.
Yeah, let's start with Ben Howerchuk off to the overseas, and you've got Craig Martin gone, Abbott Gerdukas gone, all going to Europe. I feel like I'm missing a couple from there, too. But those are your top three scorers from last year, if I'm not mistaken. Certainly your top two in Gerdukas and Craig Martin. And look, you can't... You have to be sad that they're not here, of course, anymore, but you have to be happy for them. This is a great opportunity for all those guys to head off to Europe. The Icemen actually traded away Ben Howerchuk's rights, but for those who are wondering, why did they do that?
Yeah.
Well, they knew that this was happening already, so it's just a rights deal. These rights only last for a year or so, and Benny was going to head over to Europe regardless. So didn't really affect the Icemen in any way. Now you've got three guys up front for a team that at times struggled offensively, I might add, last year, that they've got to try and find a way to get plenty of talent back from a forward standpoint to be able to neutralize what they lost and probably get even better than that. Because if you were to ask Nick Lucco, where was the flaw, I think he'd probably say we needed more offense.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. I mean, you look at the team. This is the most defensive team in the league from a stats category standpoint. Fewest goals allowed in the ECHL. Had two of the top goaltenders. There's no doubt defensively in all the categories, the Icemen, they were the top team. But, there were stretches during the season, and we saw it there in the second round in the series against Florida where the offense just didn't get it done. And, there wasn't enough offense. And the Icemen were shut out 9 times last year, Arlie. It's unbelievable for a team that had 40 wins. Think about what a turnaround that could be if you're not shut out. And 5 of those 9 losses were 1-0 losses. It's unbelievable. So it goes to show you the team was competitive, certainly in those games. It wasn't like they didn't show up. But they just didn't score enough goals, and certainly in the playoffs, as the Icemen learned in that tight series of Florida. Because, the Icemen were swept in that series, but it was a lot closer than really the series might believe. I mean, those games were pretty tight. They were all pretty much one-goal games, except for, a couple of games where maybe there was an empty netter.
Right.
Can't really count those. They were basically one-goal games. So, the Icemen were there, and they know they're there. They took that next step in their involvement here, and their involvement, I should say, in becoming this real competitive team in the South Division. But I think they know that, hey, they got to go out and get some scoring. And that is going to be really the focus here. And we maybe already seen a little bit of that. Again, you lose Gerdukas, you lose Craig Martin, two of the top scorers. But the Icemen come right back and immediately fill those positions there with a familiar face in Mike Smetula. And then a pretty prominent guy who's put some big numbers in this league with Adirondack and Matt Salhaney.
Yeah, the Icemen have done a great job with, at least for now, neutralizing the losses of Abbott Gerdukas and Craig Martin. And those are the two players at the top. The Icemen, if you have not been following, by the way, with all your releases, including one yesterday, which we'll get to momentarily, but the Icemen are now at 9 players signed and under contract. Or excuse me, 8 players signed and under contract for this upcoming year. The first two were the two you just mentioned, Mike Smetula, Matt Salhaney. Smetula was not with the Icemen last year, but he was in the year prior in the 14-team season that was, I believe, the 2021 season. He put up 40 points over 20 goals for the Icemen 2 seasons ago. This is a guy that had 40-plus points 3 seasons in a row in the ECHL. So you know you're getting consistency out of him. You know you're going to get production out of him. And you know you're going to get somebody who's familiar with the city of Jacksonville and loves it here. When he left Jacksonville last season, it was only because, not only, but I'd say a large part of it is because he knew he couldn't play for Jacksonville last year. His rights were still with the Adirondack Thunder because of the pandemic. He wanted to come back last year, but we weren't allowed to sign him. It was as simple as that. So he said, well, if we can't sign him, I'm just going to go to Europe, wait a year, and then I'm a free agent, and now I'm coming back. And that's how I look at it anyway, for exactly how I went with him. And he brought his good buddy Matt Salhaney with him. They were teammates in Adirondack a couple of years ago. Salhaney is a guy that also has had over 40 points in a season back-to-back years in with Adirondack in this league. He also had a great year last year. He had 30 points in 35 games. I believe they played in Austria, I want to say. I can't remember where it was.
Denmark.
In Denmark. That's all the flags get to me there when I see them on Elite Prospects. Salhaney is an ascending player. Also have to add, the first Rhode Islander, fellow Rhode Islander like me, that is finally here in Jacksonville. So those two guys, production, consistency, veteran presence, great, great pickups as your number one and two signees for the Icemen this year.
It's always nice when you, bring a friend. Come play, bring your friends to play for us. You know, that's kind of what it is. But you're right. The two of them played together in Adirondack and, of course, last year in Denmark. And, they both were just very excited to be here. I know Matt Salhaney, that's a nice addition there for the club based on what he's done at this level and what he did last year, too, over in Europe. Great numbers. So, again, the Icemen immediately kind of filling those holes left behind by, Craig Martin and Abbott Gerdukas with one familiar name and another one familiar from the league standpoint. Again, a great way to start off the signings there. And, I think Nick Lucco really wanted to, he got those guys locked up early, and I think he wanted to make certain he got them locked in because I think he wanted to show the hockey world that, hey, we're building something here. We're not wasting any time. We know what we need to do, and it's a pretty bold statement when you can get two offensive guys with that kind of punch as your first two signings that early in the summer. Usually you kind of have to wait it out a little bit, but that wasn't the case here. And, Icemen, with those two signings, are they making a pretty good start to their signing season?
Yeah, especially when they are not returning players because those guys are kind of in the fold. So when you have somebody that's a street free agent, for lack of a better term, and a lot of these guys that are played in Europe last year that want to come back to North America this year, they're basically street free agents. They are hard to obtain, especially if they've got numbers like these two guys both have, because they know that they're the ones with the leverage. And to be able to sign them early and say, look, we've got you locked down. Let's have a good summer. Enjoy it. You don't have to worry about the stress of where you're going to play. Not easy to do. And Nick Lucco was able to do that. And I think it's also a little bit of a culture change from an Icemen standpoint for how the off seasons have gone in years past. Nick couldn't really do this last year because he came on board so late. So this is the first time that he's had a full off season, and I think that's really playing a role also.
Yeah, I completely agree. And when you look at that, I mean, he got in, I think, hired in August. And then, you don't have a lot of time to really build your team. And it was tough for him. It was guys were already kind of committed elsewhere, you know, going into the fall, into the season. I know it was tough finding defensemen. He was, you know, just having a difficult time. But now that he has been here a season, the team has found success. Players love playing here now, you know, like for Nick Lucco and with the apartments that they, the brand new housing. You know, there's a word of mouth out there about the Jacksonville Icemen, like this is a great place to play. And they've got all these nice, you know, things like the housing and the igloos coming up here.
Yeah,
it's starting to become one of those you know, places, destination places here in the league, and the players are starting to recognize that. And now I talked to Nick, you know, earlier this week, and he was just basically saying, yeah, my phone won't stop ringing, which wasn't the case going into the season last year. So you know, that's a good sign of, you know, that really he was able to get this thing, you know, up another level so quickly. And now that he has a whole summer under his belt, it's been real exciting here. And it's nice to have options. There's no doubt about that. Nick Lucco's got that right now.
And he has been able to do that. And he's starting to really kind of round his game out as well. If you want to look a little further down the eight guys that have signed, he's already signed a couple of rookies very early in Jake Hamischer and Luke Keenan. Those are a pair of forwards. You never quite know what you're going to get with a rookie. I almost don't even worry about their rookie number. Or I'm sorry, their previous year's numbers, whether it's in college or whether it's major junior hockey or wherever it is, because it's just a different scenario when you become a first-year pro. Like last year, I was kind of looking at Luke Lynch and how he's going to be. You just don't know until you get him there. He kind of had a slow start, but he became a pretty integral part of this team. And I'll throw, you know, I don't think he's signed yet, but I know that he was part of the qualifying offers is Sam Sternshine. I want to see if he ends up with this team at some point and whether, you know, he might be somebody that fits that mold too. And that kind of goes back to the don't pay attention to the numbers, because his numbers at Boston College were frankly terrible. But you bring him here at the end of last year and you could see he's got the goods to play at this level. He's got the size, he's got the hands, he's got the desire and the grit. And, you know, so let's, you know, I'll wait until October to find out about those guys, but I'm always excited to see what they bring to the table. They don't always hit. You could have a miss in there, but if you hit one, you could have somebody that becomes a fixture on your team for a long time.
Yeah, you mentioned Hamager there from RIT. He's got a connection with Abbott Gerdukas, who also played with him and collegiately, and Gerdukas recommended him as well. So you have that pipeline a little bit there. And, you know, you talk about those college guys. You look at numbers, you're like, yeah, those numbers kind of vanilla and there's nothing really exciting. You know, take a guy like Blake Winicky for Florida.
Sure.
I mean, he's a guy whose numbers were, yeah, they were decent, nothing wowing, you know, in collegiately. But now look at him in this league. I mean, he's a 60-point guy a year, 60-point player a year. I mean, this is unbelievable. So, you know, you never know when you're going to hit and what, you know, just there's just certain little nuances in the league that some guys they find appealing and they're able to fit in just right. And you're right, a guy like Sternshine, he really showed some moments there. I know I can remember the series that week long 5-6 there in Norfolk. He had some big games there, a 4-point game, I believe,
wow,
as well. So, I mean, he's a guy that I really want to see take to the next level. And you mentioned Lynch as well, another guy that really, you know, at first just takes guys a few games to kind of get that settled. And it's just great to watch the guys evolve as the year goes on. To me, that's one of the most exciting things about the league is when you get a young player, a rookie, you see the adjustment, you see the growing pains, but then when you see them finally get it and become an impact player, that's always really fun to see.
Yeah, and Brendan Warren, if you want to go back a couple of years, was a similar guy to that, did this kind of mold of player. I think he had 3 points at Michigan his senior year, something like that. And now he's a fixture in the American Hockey League, kind of banging on the door maybe for a roster spot with the Buffalo Sabres. You never know. But he's definitely not coming back to the ECHL, not as far as I can see, anytime soon. And so, you know, all these guys start kind of blending in, and now you're going to start to see the Matt Salhaneys and the Mike Smatulas of the world, you know, come from Europe. You're going to start to see your Jake Hamischers and Luke Keenans come in from the rookie to blend in with your guys from last year. And now you're going to start to see a few of these signings. The first couple that were signed, Jacob Panetta, Charles Williams, and then just yesterday, Brendan Harris.
Yeah, I mean, that's you talk about core guys. There you go. And there's another guy, Jacob Panetta, a guy that, you know, in his first, this is actually his third season with the Icemen. The first season, he only played 6 games. He was here the entire year from training camp to the end of the season. That was the COVID year. That was the year where, you know, he just, it was, the league was so good with the 14 teams. They were pretty stacked. He was a rookie. But and I know that Jason Christie gave him the option, pulled him in one day and said, hey, you know, Jacob, I really believe you have potential here. As you know, our league right now is very competitive. It's kind of like a mini AHL right now. In fact, you could pretty much say it kind of was. It was just a high-end players. And, you know, you can say it's a mini AHL now. I mean, the league's really come a long way here. And there's so many players. Any of these guys can go up to the next level and fit into an AHL, you know, lineup, you know, in those situations. But, you know, he asked Jacob Panetta just straight up, hey, I'll keep you around for the rest of the year. You can stay here and practice and develop. I'll get you in when I can. Or I can, you know, let you go for now. You know, if you feel like it's better for your development to go to the SPHL, you can do that. And Jacob elected, you know what, I feel like this is where I need to be. I feel like I'm getting more practicing with these players every day is making me better. And, you know, you got into six games, and then now last year, you know, if things open back up, he's now an everyday player. He's another one of those guys. It was great to watch him develop, really become a force there at the Iceman blue line last year. So there's no doubt that that's a great addition to get back there on the back end there. Then, of course, Brendan Harris, another little treat that the Iceman got their hands on last year in January. Unbelievable. You know, had one assist and just, what, like six outings, I think, with Wheeling last year. And gets traded to, you know, in a future considerations deal, which actually ended up being Pavel Vorobe is the return deal on that. As the fans I know saw that Pavel was picked up, he was basically put on a list, and that's who Wheeling chose. And so, but either way, the Icemen get Harris, and boy, did he blossom into something. What a playoff he had, you know, 8 points, four goals, four assists in those eight playoff outings. Man, I mean, that was a find, and I think he's going to be an impact player here for the Icemen heading into this season.
Well, he started with a bang. He had a game-winning overtime goal in his Icemen debut, and he really didn't slow down ever from there. 30 points in 39 games for a young guy who was classified as a rookie last year. I know he played a few games with Wheeling the year prior. I want to say, you know, somewhere in the teens, 18, 19 games, something like that. But now he's got a full season under his belt. He is comfortable here. I remember, you know, us talking about how he loved being here and felt like this was the place for him. Comfort is everything to a young guy, especially the ones coming out of college. He is comfortable here. He knows that he's going to be a key element to this forward lineup. And, you know, we talked about trying to make up for the losses of Craig Martin and Abbott Gerdukas. Brendan Harris is going to be relied on not only to be himself from last year, but maybe even a little bit above what he was last year. Now that he's got a full season under his belt, you know, he could be a point a game or above guy. He's got the skill to do exactly that. I know he's not the biggest guy out there, but he knows how to use his body. He is so shifty. He's the best stick handler on the team. I wonder if he's the best stick handler that I've seen on this team in the last handful of years. And, you know, I see his game stepping up. I actually was surprised to see him do so well in the postseason, very pleasantly surprised. I actually was worried that he was going to kind of fade away because of his size. It was the exact opposite. He proved me wrong. He proved a lot of other people wrong by how well he performed in the postseason. And that just gives me all the more optimism for what we look forward to seeing out of Brendan Harris come this upcoming year.
Yeah, and you look at that group. We talked about the rookies. Now you add Sal, you know, we talked about Sal Haney, Smatula, and now you got Brendan Harris. I'm liking it already. Not a ton of size there in that group, but, you know, that could be added later, and the Icemen have some other chips we'll get into in just a moment. And of course, the other name you mentioned there, Charles Williams, the return of him, had an opportunity to be at the fan skate there at the Igloo. It was a great, great event when we announced Willie there at that event. It was awesome. It was great for the fans to see at least part of the Igloo, which is coming along.
Yeah.
But that was the new side of the rink that we had the skate there. It was a lot of fun. We announced Charles Williams, and yeah, he was able to skate with the fans. He was so great with the fans. He's just a phenomenal person as well, and a good goaltender. I mean, no goaltender has you know, appeared in an Iceman uniform than Charles Williams. So he's been around going into his third season with the team. And a great event, a great player, and a great guy around is Charles Williams. And I know the fans were really excited to have him back. It was also awesome to see, you know, his wife Camille, but also their newborn Cody. Charles was able to get her on the ice for the first time.
So
that was really cool. So the first skate for Charles and his newborn daughter Cody. So big congratulations to them. But again, another welcome sight, another familiar face, and a guy who had a pretty good playoff himself, got thrust into action in some cases there. And really, we know what you get with Willie. He gives you a chance to win every night.
Yeah, he actually struggled in the second half of last year during the regular season. You could kind of see it kind of affecting his psyche a little bit. I know the birth of his baby girl, I got to think, played a role. He would never say anything like that, of course. But I think he just had a lot going on in his life, and understandably so. But once that kind of settled, you know, what a finish for him in the postseason. I know he only started two games, I believe, in the postseason, but he actually led all ECHL goaltenders in postseason goals against average and save percentage. The save percentage was over 95%, which is unheard of in the postseason. Goals against, I think, 1.3, somewhere in that neighborhood. So his confidence level has got to be through the roof right now. It only takes a couple of games for your confidence level to switch like that. And, you know, if you had asked him in March, how's your confidence level? He'd probably say, I don't know. But right now he said, oh, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be this number one goaltender. I'm ready to be a part of this team and try and take him to the, you know, hopefully division title in the South Division in this ECHL in the 22-23 season. So I love this signing, and everybody else loves him. He is a huge locker room presence, and couldn't be more thrilled to have Willie back in the fold.
Yeah, without question. So the Iceman building some familiar faces, getting them back into the lineup there. And then another addition to the team that I'm pretty excited about. I really like what I've read so far and just looking at numbers and size. But another addition on the back end. This one was acquired via trade, and that is Tim Theocharitis. He was acquired from the Adirondack Thunder in exchange for Vladislav Mikalchuk, who I think he's a promising young guy, a big body, big forward, but I think he's going to be going to a situation. You know, I know Adirondack, they were looking for a big forward, and I think, you know, for both parties, the Iceman get a pretty sound and promising looking prospect on the back end on the blue line there with Theocharitis, and then in the return, I think Mikalchuk's going to get a really good chance to play a lot up there in Adirondack. He's still very young, so the Iceman getting you know, a little bit of a trade there to try to solidify the back end. I mean, this team is built on defense. Nick Lucco, former defenseman himself, you know, it's a defense-first kind of minded team, and I really like what I see out of him, Arlie. He's got, you know, pretty good size to him, as well as some pretty promising numbers here, and has played at the next level already. I think it was a good trade for both parties. I hate to see Vlad go. But I think for Vlad, it's going to be good because he was wanted by Adirondack. Yeah. He's going to get probably more of a chance to play regular shifts.
Well, I think it's a great move by Jacksonville to pick up Tim Theocharitis. And, you know, he split time, like you said. It was almost 50-50 last year, splitting time between Adirondack, but also the Utica Comets in the American Hockey League. 9 games in Utica in the AHL, 10 games in the ECHL. He also finished his career at Arizona State last year. He was a busy, busy guy. 35 games in Arizona State, which is about a normal season for them, but then 19 more games post his college career. Looks like a two-way defenseman to me, Reader. He had 15 points in 35 games for Arizona State. Didn't do much offensively last season at the professional level, but that's just getting his feet wet at that point. If the fact that he played half of his games in the American Hockey League tells me that people think very highly of him. I'm not sure if he's even a guy that stays in Jacksonville all season long. He could be a guy that potentially the Hartford Wolfpack look at and say, hey, we like what this guy is doing. He was maybe a grad transfer or something like that, because he played 3 years at Bowling Green as well. So he put up pretty good offensive numbers from a defenseman standpoint at the college level. I'm not sure if that'll translate or not. Really, what matters more to me is that he's 6'1" and that he plays great on the back end, and I fully expect that he will be that guy. We'll have to wait and see, but it seems like this year is already kind of being constructed similarly to last year from the back end out. Goaltending with Charles Williams. Now you've got a couple of defensemen coming in with Jacob Panetta, Tim Theocharitis. And then we'll round things out a little bit with what we don't know will happen, but what we project could possibly happen. Just reading some tea leaves, not just here in Jacksonville, but with their team ahead of them in the Hartford Wolfpack in the American Hockey League.
Yeah, and I think we start really with the qualifying offers list, though, Arlie, when you look at the players, just because You know, they're still in play. And the fact that the Iceman qualified seven players means that the Iceman maintain these players' rights. One, when you do a qualifying offer, you basically offer a player a contract. And they've got, I believe, 16 days to decide what they want to do. They can accept it or they can decline it. And if they decline it, which a lot of players do, because some players, you know, they're higher-end guys, they want to wait and maybe see what the summer holds for them. If they can maybe hold out for that American Hockey League deal, then they sign, if it doesn't work out, right back. So it's, you know, not the end of the world. But either way, by the Iceman just qualifying them, even though they didn't accept the contract, the Iceman hold the rights to these players for an entire calendar year. So players that we talk about, such as Jacob Friend and Christopher Brown and Aaron Nazarian, they're on the list there as well. We'll get you the full list, but just to try to just get the conversation going on this, Arlie, those players have been qualified and are still very much in the books here as far as you know, being potential additions here. But again, you look at those list of names, these are all guys that have played at the next level last season and are maybe holding out a little bit just to see how the summer unfolds. But these guys are certainly in the mix to return to Jacksonville if that doesn't happen.
Yeah, they won't be anywhere else in the ECHL, let's put it that way.
Exactly.
And the fact that they were qualified tells me that Nick Lucco feels like, if you just want to use those three names, Aaron Nazarian, Christopher Brown, Jacob Friend, he feels that they are a part of this upcoming team. They are not signed yet, but you can tell that he wants them to be part of this team. I think really what it comes down to, as you addressed, Reader, is are they going to get a shot at the American Hockey League? And if not, they're here. Maybe the contract isn't signed yet, but those things will get taken care of. They're not going anywhere else. And if you add those three, I mean, you're talking about Jacob Friend as a shutdown defenseman, as a number one penalty kill guy. Christopher Brown plays in all situations, 200-foot player, probably your number one penalty killer right now, maybe your number one faceoff guy, along with Derek Lodermeyer, who is also on that list, by the way, Aaron Nazarian as well, who I think had a good year last year, but honestly, I think he was actually a step back from the year prior. If I'm Era, I'm probably thinking, you know what, time for me to really put it together this year. So I'm looking for some promising things out of him as well. And you know the kind of effort you're going to get out of him night after night after night. He is a bulldog out there. It's almost impossible to take the puck away from him. And I'm, you know, I don't know if they're all going to be here. I hope that they will be. You know, there's a part of me that also wishes them success in the American Hockey League if they get that chance. But if they come down here, then you're talking about a wonderful base for the Iceman, because then you're talking about 11 guys that we've mentioned here that would be in the fold that are all in a great spot. It tells me that the Iceman are going to be in pretty good team this upcoming year, with a few more roster spots left to fill out, of course.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that you have to look at, and just real quick, rounding out the other players on this list, you know, Craig Martin, Abbott Gerdakis, as well as Sean Giles. You're like, well, all three of those guys are already signed in Europe. But by the Iceman qualifying them, they hold on to their rights. And sometimes players go over there, they don't like it, or maybe it doesn't work out. We hope that's not the case, and they get released. So at any point in the next year, if these players want to come back to the ECHL, they got to come here first. So, and it also gives the Iceman, you know, an option if they want to sweeten the deal on a trade. You know, they can also add one of these guys in there. Hey, we'll give you the rights to Craig Martin, you know, in case he does come back. Some teams will take that chance there as well. So, again, it just preserves those players' rights, even though we know they're going to Europe, at least to start the year. And we hope they get nothing but success there. It's a great opportunity for those guys. But they would come back here if, you know, something didn't work out or whatever, if they come back to ECHL, which is also, you know, good to see there as well. So, we'll see. And of course, there's other players too. Just because you haven't seen a player, you know, you can only qualify eight guys. That's the most you can do. So you might look at other players like Victor Hadfield and I don't know what, you know, Brandon Fortunato, you know, Luke Lynch, other guys that you didn't see on these lists. You know, it could be a situation where Nick's already talked to those guys and they've basically verbally committed, or they've already been locked up and for whatever reason the contract hasn't been approved by the league yet. There's a lot that goes in there into it, but again, it's all about communication and stuff like that. So those guys are certainly still in play, just nothing official yet, and hopefully that'll be happening here as the summer goes on. But so that's kind of what we see initially from an Iceman standpoint, but here we are, I've been talking this whole time, Arlie. We got to think about, too, there's other possibilities that could be coming to this club in the form of the Iceman affiliates, the New York Rangers, and the Hartford Wolfpack.
Right, and we talked about this last year, I believe, when we did a a podcast about who's going to come down. And you always think that these could be your number one guy, your top line guy, your top pair defenseman, maybe a goaltender that comes down, which ended up being last year, Francois Brassard. There was no better send down from the Hartford Wolfpack than Francois Brassard.
Goaltender of the year, yeah.
Just ECHL goaltender of the year. I do want to say for anybody that is hoping, oh man, I hope he's still with Hartford, I hope he comes back. Regrettably, that is not going to be the case. Francois Brassard will not be with the Icemen this year. What a year he had with us down here. We are so thankful for the season that he provided us. I don't even know if he is with a particular team yet, but I do know that he's not going to be with Hartford. But don't worry, the Wolfpack, Nick Lucco was, I almost lost my train of thought there for a sec, because Nick Lucco came in so late last year, and not only him, but the Hartford Wolfpack general manager, I believe, also came in late last year. So they weren't really able to build they weren't able to build a game plan for how to set up signing players in the offseason, who they want sent down, who they think is the right guy to maybe start here but move up, how the goaltending tandem is going to look. Those discussions, they happened, I'm sure, but much later than either of them would have liked. Now they've got a full season to talk about it. Now they're talking about, well, you know, I'm sure from Nick's standpoint, he'd be saying, well, it was nice that we got the James Sanchez's of the world, and it was nice that we got Francois Brassard, of course. Zach Berzola is another guy that I haven't heard his name in a little while. Jake Elmer, too. Now the conversations start with, you know, thanks for giving us those guys. Let's see if we can do a little better this year. You know, and not just that, but these conversations also take place. We want to see it better, and we have guy A, B, and C in mind. You know, could you possibly sign these guys knowing that there's a decent shot that they're going to come down here? That happens all over the league. It's never a guarantee. In fact, you know, to give you an idea of how it's not a guarantee, I want to take you back to last year. I was all kinds of excited about the Hartford Wolfpack signing Cristiano Di Jacinto last year. Everything that I read told me that Di Jacinto was signed there to come here. It didn't work out that way. He outperformed everybody in training camp. He ended up in Hartford the entire season. Great for him. So it's never a guarantee when those kind of things happen. But when you see the Hartford Wolfpack signing players, as an Iceman fan, you should be watching the transactions from Hartford. It's not a guarantee that these guys are going to come down here, of course.
No.
But you know that a few of them will. And if you're looking at guys that are signed there that have, say, played, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 games in the ECHL last year, it's a pretty decent shot that you're going to see him in an Iceman uniform this season.
Yeah, at least at some point. And again, those discussions, I know Nick Lucco and Ryan Martin, the GM up there in Hartford, they've had that conversation. You know, Nick got in August. I think the GM up there, Martin, got in at, September. So they didn't really have a chance to plan together in exactly what they want. Now, you know, we talked about Nick building a team, and now Hartford's able to build their team. And now the two entities are able to kind of have the conversations. Who do you like? You know, what do you think you need? And we can try to go out there and find it. I mean, there's no doubt the affiliate will try to find players to send to the Iceman, but it's got to be mutually agreed upon. Players that Hartford's like, hey, if we need a guy, we're going to call him up. Both sides kind of have to come to that agreement. But you're right. You know, you never know. Di Jacinto, perfect example. He was a guy that was pretty much, you know, pinpointed right there when he was signed by Hartford that, yeah, you'll probably be in Jacksonville. Then he goes and earns a spot and was there the entire season. We never saw him once.
No.
So, and that's good for him. So so you don't know, but you're right, Arlie. There's you've got to look at the writing on the wall. You know, fans should just pay attention to what Hartford's doing, because you very well could see some of these guys in an Iceman uniform at some point during the season. And just looking at what Hartford's done, they've already been really busy. I kind of like it. It's kind of there's some.
Oh,
excitement.
I love it.
Yeah. No, it is kind of exciting what they got there. And, you know, this could be good for Hartford or the Iceman or both at some point. But there's a couple familiar names and, you know, some guys that played in the ECHL and had, you know, very, phenomenal seasons. Let's get to the list, because these are all potential possibilities. Again, it's a long way to go. A lot can change. Training camps haven't even happened. The New York Rangers seem busy in free agency. That affects the numbers on how things work. If they trade somebody at a certain position, that means, well, probably one of those guys is staying in Hartford. So it's all a domino and trickle-down effect. But for right now, as we see it, Hartford's been very busy.
They have been. And, you know, I'm going to highlight this list with a guy that is most familiar to Iceman fans. And It's a goaltender, actually, from one of our chief rivals, Parker Gahagan, goaltender for the Florida Everblades, has been signed by the Hartford Wolfpack. He was not the number one goaltender in the playoffs. That was taken over by Cam Johnson for Florida and ultimately took them to the Cup. But that is not a knock on Gahagan at all. Every time he's played at the ECHL level, his numbers have been outstanding. No different last year with the Everblades. He was 20-10-3 last year. His goals against average 2.32, 916 save percentage. Look, Parker Gahagan's a great goaltender. He's signed by Hartford. Hartford signed two NHL-caliber goaltenders in free agency. Let's read the writing on the wall. To me, Parker Gahagan might have a cup of coffee up in Hartford, and he's certainly going to have training camp up in Hartford. To me, he's here with Charles Williams as your goaltending tandem. And maybe there's another guy in there from the Hartforder slash New York Ranger possibility where maybe there's a third guy in. Maybe they've got a prospect as well that might be coming in. But to me, Parker Gahagan is as good as in Jacksonville, at least for the majority of the season, and I am fired up about that. And you know he's going to be fired up about facing his former team and the defending champions in the Everblades.
Oh, without question. There's always that extra motivation. And, of course, a sound goaltender, you just went over the numbers. And we saw him a bunch of times. You know, we didn't really see Cam Johnson until the playoffs, unfortunately, as he rolled through and had an unbelievable playoff run for the Everblades. Which, by the way, Cam Johnson this week signed with Charlotte, who is the AHL affiliate of the Everblades.
The new affiliate. Yeah,
the new affiliate as they move on from the Nashville Predators or now with the Florida Panthers. But that's going to be interesting to see that. Is that one of those situations where basically he was signed for Florida very well? Cam Johnson, you know, the Icemen have to deal with him. But no doubt there's that extra motivation for Parker Gahagan. And then just looking at the Rangers side of things, you know, you get some players on entry-level contracts. You got to keep an eye on them. There's a couple names on their, you know, their prospect roster, including a guy that was drafted in the second round a couple of years ago in Olaf Lindbom. I mean, another goaltender. Does he end up in Hartford? Yeah, very well. He very well could. The second-round pick, you know, they very well could have him up there. But he hasn't really played professional North American hockey yet. So, you know, they might want to start him off here in Jacksonville and get some reps as well. So another name to look out for. Again, we just don't know how it's going to play out. But there is that from the goaltending standpoint, a couple of names that we can throw at you.
Yeah, and those are the guys right there, Gahagan and Lindbom. So, I guess perfect case scenario is you have a three-headed monster in goal between Parker Gahagan, Charles Williams, of course, and then the wild card being Olaf Lindbom. Maybe he comes down, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. Perhaps the Rangers want him to be a number one guy, and you're not going to be a number one guy in Hartford yet, but you can be a number one here in Jacksonville. That actually happens quite a bit. Around the entire league, that happens quite a bit. When you're almost like the number four guy in the depth chart, you don't want him to be the backup in the American Hockey League. You would rather them be the number one guy at the ECHL level. And so that happens quite a bit. Wouldn't surprise me at all if Lindbom has a decent amount of time here in Jacksonville. And then look at the other guys that have been signed by Hartford that had ECHL experience just last year. Guys like Ryan Lowen, who had a point a game for the Allen Americans last year. But, Cup, I think 2 years ago, he had 15 points in 25 games in the American Hockey League. But, you know, had some time in the ECHL last year and the year prior. If the name sounds familiar, he did have a little bit of time with the Orlando Solar Bears a couple of years ago. This is a guy where if he is part of Jacksonville's plans more than Hartford's plans, this could be another top-line guy up front. And then, you know, Zach Jordan is another guy. He was signed by Hartford. He played 38 games in Kalamazoo last year. He had 22 points in those 38 games. I don't see him. We've never played Kalamazoo, but those are certainly decent numbers there. And then you look on the back end, two other guys that I believe if you are really, really following the South Division, you might remember them from years gone by. Blake Hillman, who played some time for the South Carolina Stingrays a couple of years ago, so he's definitely played in this building. He was signed by Hartford this year. He had 13 points in 13 games as a defenseman last year for Toledo, and he also had a pretty good postseason as well. His offensive game is coming. He actually started his pro career in the NHL. He's a second-round pick of the Chicago Blackhawks and played a few games for the Blackhawks. And then Luke Martin is another guy who had 43 points in 59 games in Utah last year as a defenseman,
yeah,
signed by Hartford. And again, I'm not saying that he's automatically going to be here, but look at this. I mean, 59 games in the ECHL last year. You know, hopefully he gets the call up to Hartford and sticks there for a little while. But if he doesn't, he's used to playing at this level. You want 43 points out of 59 games from a defenseman? You better believe it. He's a guy that I think played a cup of coffee for Greenville as well. So you may remember him from the Swamp Rabbits. Certainly wouldn't mind him being in the blue of the Iceman.
Yeah, and 10 goals scored last year, too. So very active from a scoring standpoint himself. Not so much just a setup guy, but he can put the puck in the net as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are guys that you can't bank on them, but I'm telling you now, you know, we gave you a bunch of names here. Continue to keep an eye on the Hartford Wolfpack transactions. No guarantee that these players come here, but you never know. They've also signed a couple of rookies. Luca Hunault, who was about a point-a-game defenseman in the Ontario Hockey League last year. Don't know whether he's part of Hartford's plans, whether he's part of, you know, maybe they wanted to be a number one power play guy, a quarterback on the power play, and the best way to do that is to send him down to the ECHL. A last name that you'll recognize, Easton Brodzinski, signed by Hartford. Actually, Michael Brodzinski is the one who's in Orlando and has been for many years. They have another brother, Johnny Brodzinski, who has played for the New York Rangers and the Hartford Wolfpack. So they're going to, you know, the brothers are potentially set up there, but maybe Easton isn't quite ready for Hartford yet. We may see him as well.
I mean, it's, yeah. So, I mean, it's just, you just don't know. But it's exciting, you know, to see how it's playing out because, you know, I'm willing to bet the two or three of those names will end up in Jacksonville at some point. I just don't know who, couldn't tell you. And again, you even watch the New York Rangers, you know, transactions as free agencies, you know, blowing up here in the NHL here as of late, you know, because obviously if they get, you know, if they lose a certain position, then, you know, then that kind of, you know, trickles down to the Hartford, and so, you know, that affects their numbers as well, so because they usually pull from there. So it just, you know, it depends. There's a long way to go before this thing is, but throwing some names out and integrating some of these names into the Iceman lineup that we already have, it looks pretty cool. I'm ready to go and drop the puck, but I don't know if the rest of the staff is in the office. I think they say, oh, come on, Reader, now just give us a little bit more time. But, yeah, I'm ready to rock.
Oh, I'm absolutely ready to rock. And with all these names here, again, I can't imagine that all those guys from Hartford are going to be here in Jacksonville at the same time. But, you know, I think it's reasonable to guess that maybe half of them will say three or four at any given time. If you add up the guys that were qualified plus the eight players that were signed, and like you said, maybe there's a player or two that wasn't on either list, but maybe there's, you know, a verbal agreement, something along those lines. Here's where it gets a little interesting. If you add all that up, you're probably in the ballpark of maybe, I don't know, 15, 16 players that could be with Jacksonville at this time. And then you're starting to run out of two things. You're starting to run out of roster spots, one. You're starting to run out of cap space, two. And that's where it's going to start getting really interesting for Nick Lucco. What do I do with those final three to four spots? How much money do I have to spend? Could I possibly bring a veteran or two in? There are no veterans here again. I don't know if that's a Nick Lucco staple that he just wants a young team. I don't know if that's just coincidence, but I don't know. None of us are going to really know any of these salaries by any stretch, but whatever it is, he's going to start having to figure out how to maneuver the cap for the players and roster spots that are left. And that's where it could get very touch and go. You might want a major player out there, but maybe you don't have the money for him. Maybe you have to move some money to try and get a particular guy that you know you want and they want to be here, but you have to make the numbers work too.
No, you really do. I mean, there is a salary cap here in this league, and that's why teams in Europe have so much more flexibility. They can offer a lot more. They can, you know, that you can't in this league, and that's why players go over there. There's more money to be had over there, more little perks. You know, it's amazing what is considered a perk here in North America in the professional leagues that you just can't go there to sweeten pots on deals. So, you know, the ECHL, they play it by the book, and you got to fit within a cap there, and that's part of the juggling game here for coaches and hockey operations departments. And we'll see how this plays out here in the coming months. You're right, though, Arlie, too. You know, a lot of those veterans, those next-level guys, they kind of wait till August, you know, to figure things out. So, you know, there still could be more names that pop up there, but the Iceman are going to have to make certain they've got the space to put it in there. And so, yeah, Arlie, we kind of ran through it there pretty good here. As far as where we're at here as we head into that third week of July or so. And it'll be interesting to see what our next podcast has in store. We'll have a little bit better of an idea, and certainly there'll be more names we can add into the conversation. But we are here, and it is heating up here for Jacksonville. And so far, I like where things are set up heading into the season.
No, the roster's really taking shape quite nicely and much earlier than we have been accustomed to as well. And that allows, you know, the hype to build up for a little longer in the offseason too. So all you puckheads out there that are just, you know, so anxious to get the training camp started, the season started, you can already look towards these player signings. We're at 8 right now, plenty more to go. A lot of things to, you know, to think about with the Hartford-Jacksonville pipeline or New York Ranger-Hartford-Jacksonville pipeline. You know, some names that maybe you hadn't thought of before this podcast now. Now maybe you might be looking at some of these guys and you might be researching them saying, oh man, maybe this guy can end up here. Maybe Luke Martin is here. Maybe Parker Gahagan is here. Those are things that we can't announce and won't be able to until October, but you can certainly think about it and try and, you know, picture in your mind, if you will, what this Iceman roster might look like. You can already start visualizing it right now. And then when the back half comes, you'll come August, September, and into training camp in early October, it's all going to come to fruition and it's all going to, you know, find its spot. And we're going to have a full-on Jacksonville roster before you know it. And, you know, right now we're just building the pieces and it's a lot of fun watching the puzzle get put together.
No, it certainly is. Well, that'll pretty much wrap it up here for this July version of the podcast. And Arlie and I will keep you updated here throughout the rest of the summer and the off season as we head towards the 2022-2023 season. Hard to believe, though, just months away. It'll be here before we know it. Before I close it out, we have the league meetings in Vegas in June. Want to congratulate the Iceman sales team there. They were named the group sales department of the year. I mean, the Iceman's numbers are unbelievable when it comes to groups. You see that on the weekend nights. It's unbelievable. That group works very, very hard to make that happen, and I'm so glad that the team was able to win that award, as well as one individual, and then, of course, that being Noah Otero Vargas. He was named the rookie sales executive of the season for the entire ECHL. We're so excited for Noah. He's really, really put together his first year with the team, and it was great to see it. But team was nominated for a lot of awards, and again, it's just a testament of how great the team is, not only on the ice, but off the ice as well.
And one special nomination as well for you, Alex, nominated as PR Director of the Year. Did not win it. It had to have been rigged. There is no way. You had so much going on off the ice this year that I have no idea how you did not win it, but you did a sensational job. I know everybody agrees, with everything you had to deal with, not just the broadcasting and the traveling, but everything you had to deal with from an off-ice, you know, media relations standpoint. So congratulations on the nomination. Sorry it didn't go your way. I feel like you were robbed, but you have my utmost of respect and wanted to make sure that I sent that your way as well, and I'm sure the fans feel the same way.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, Arlie. Thank you. It went to Colin Shuck of Idaho, who's fantastic, very well. Colin does an amazing job, but thank you for the kind words. I do appreciate it. And one more shout-out, too. Again, another finalist for an award was Trent Blair. I know a lot of the fans love Trent Blair. That guy, let me tell you, sometimes I wonder if he sleeps in the office, but he works tirelessly as well. He was nominated for sales person of the year for the entire league, sales director. That one just fell short on that one as well. He's nominated every year. So hang in there, Trent. I think it's coming, but his body of work is unbelievable as well. So there you have it, Arlie. Until next time, thanks again, man. It's always fun to catch up. We always try to make this podcast shorter, but that's impossible.
We love talking Iceman hockey. Can't.
We do. We just can't do it. So I don't know, man. We're just going to have to extend this thing out longer and longer here. But we appreciate everybody for tuning in. Again, contact the Iceman office for any ticket questions, suites, whatever you're looking to purchase for your company or for your family. The Iceman can help you out there. Again, the number to call, 904-602-7825. And, of course, go to jacksiceman.com or jacksonvilleiceman.com, whatever your fancy is for putting in the URL and the web address. And, of course, check out the Community First Igloo. It's getting there. They have, you know, learn to skate programs are already going. Again, the building's still under construction, but if you haven't checked it out, it's looking nice. Here in a few more months, it's going to be great. I believe they've demoed the other side. They're getting ready to pour some concrete down on the what was the old side, what everyone was familiar with. But the new side's open to get that old side going. Lots of excitement going on there as well. But it should be a lot of fun here in the coming months to see how that plays out. But also a big thank you to Gemstone Media for helping us here with this podcast, allowing us to, you know, butt into their studios. And it's always a pleasure. They're a great partner of the Iceman as well. So couldn't do it without them. With that, you got any final words, Arlie, before I close it out?
No, I think we're good. We covered just about everything.
We did.
Just cannot wait for training camp. Looking forward to the next podcast, Reader. Let's get this done. I am fired up.
All right. Well, sounds like a plan. Well, that'll do it for this edition of the Ice Cap Podcast. For Arlie Johnson, Gemstone Media, I'm Alex Reed. Until next time, we'll see you soon.